The scripture reading this morning comes from Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ was brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. This is the word of God.
So, oh my goodness, is that too loud? It's kind of loud, right? Yeah. So while many years back, I decided with a friend of mine to go on a road trip. We were 18, and you know, when you're 18, the road trip is just the best, right? It's irresistible. So we decided to go, you know, but the deal was we didn't have much money at all. We had very little money, but we had a lot of what we thought we needed for the trip, right? We had a destination. We had my uncle's fishing property up in Oregon on the Mackenzie River. We could camp there. Perfect. We had a tent. Didn't know how to put it up, but we had a tent. We had this box of canned goods that a friend of ours who worked in a supermarket donated to us. They were expired, and they were throwing them out. So he let us have those. And then we had a can of Fix-A-Flat. Do you remember that stuff? It's in a can. You can have, yeah, because we didn't have a spare tire. But none of that mattered because what we did have, for sure, we had a philosophy of life that it always held us in good stead. At least we thought it had so far. It was a philosophy of life. It went like this. What you don't think about won't hurt you. In other words, if you could just block out of your mind any bad consequences to anything, there's no way it could materialize in the real life, right? So with these meager possessions, you know, and our philosophy of life, we took up and went off on the 101 freeway. This is in the 1970s, so we were driving my love truck, LUV truck. You remember those Chevys? Yeah, little tiny thing. So we're rattling up the coast. And on the second night, we made it to this spot on the Mackenzie River. And that's when we began to learn that what you don't think about sometimes really can come back and bite you. For one thing, we learned that we discovered that it's really, really dark on the Mackenzie River in the woods. And we hadn't thought about a flashlight. We learned that it's really wet down there by the Mackenzie River, and that one little book of matches that we thought to bring probably just wasn't going to cut it to make a fire. We also learned that you probably shouldn't depend on expired canned goods as your main source of nourishment. As soon as we put a can opener into the first can, we heard that hiss, you know, and we knew that this whole thing was just not going to work out too well. Well, it turned out we didn't last too long in the woods. And that probably would have been okay. You know, we probably could have meandered down the coast again, you know, and laughed about our foibles and maybe even talked about what we'd learned about how to prepare, things like that. But that was not to be, because we really weren't sure we had enough money for gas. And this is, you know, before we had credit cards and before we had ATMs and all those kinds of things. And we didn't have any money in the bank anyway. So the entire trip home, 15 hours and 13 minutes, the entire trip was just fraught with anxiety and tension. Were we going to make it or were we going to be stranded?
all the way through Oregon, all the way through Northern California. In Sacramento, you know, we looked around through all of our clothes and under the seats for pennies, you know, and I mean pennies, to get $1.50, which was almost 2 gallons of gas in those days. But that last hour was agony as that needle sat down there on empty, empty, dead empty. And, you know, every road sign, we're calculating how many more miles and dividing and doing the math to see if it's possible we're going to be. It was just agony until finally we coasted up. And I mean we coasted up to the trailer that we lived in. We were emotionally and spiritually and physically as depleted and as empty as that tank, mostly because of the anxiety and the worry. Were we going to be stranded? Well, next day, you know, we spent kind of recovering from our trip. And I guess maybe rolling around in the back of my mind was the beginnings of a new philosophy of life, probably due for one. And if I'd have been smart, it might have gone something like this. If you're going on a trip, wherever you're going, and whatever you're going to go through, it's really better if you know you can make it back. If you know you've got a full tank of gas. Whatever you go through, it's going to be better. Well, you know, in life, we can't prepare for everything. Stuff happens to us. We cannot prepare for everything. Struggles come, troubles come. Our life can just be turned upside down all of a sudden. We can be weighed down with illness. We can go through those times in our lives where there's a lot of transition, there's a lot of turmoil. And we can feel like that. We can feel like, man, I just don't know if I can go on. I don't know if I'm full. I don't know if I have, if I can go on. But Paul tells us that when we hit those places in our lives, God can really be like that full tank of gas, you know. God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, can fill us up and fuel us on and give us that assurance that we need, that no matter where we're going and no matter what we go through, he's got us. He's got us. We're not going to be stranded. We're going to make our destination wherever God determines that might be. Now, Paul was kind of an expert at this kind of thing. Paul was an expert at suffering. He did a lot of it. He had a lot of hardship in his life. And a lot of it was because he had this kind of situation in his life where everything just turned completely upside down. You remember, Paul was an accomplished Pharisee. He was one of those religious elites. He had grown up in a good family. He was a Roman citizen. He had been educated by the best people. He was admired for his zeal in defending the purity of the Jewish faith, the purity of Judaism. He was given license by the Jewish authorities and by the Romans to persecute and go after this new group that had grown up in the Jewish faith and out of Judaism, these followers of Christ who followed the way, the people that they thought were corrupting Judaism. Paul was given license to go after those guys, and he did. But one day, everything flipped because he met the risen Christ. Oh. He meets the risen Jesus. This Jesus that he denied was the Messiah. This Jesus that he knew had been crucified and he never believed had risen from the dead was now standing right before him. And his whole life changed. This guy who had built a reputation as being anti the way became part of the way. And all those people that had admired him for so long, now they disowned him. Even those people that he wanted to serve, the people of the way, the church, the Christians, they distrusted him. Even those Romans who had given him license to go ahead and persecute the Christians now began to persecute him. His whole life turned over. And he ran into all kinds of hardships. In 2 Corinthians 6:3, he describes a few of them. He said he encountered beatings. He was beaten. He was imprisoned more than once. He suffered through riots that were caused by him. And they were after him. He said he suffered sleepless nights and hunger, all because of this radical change that had happened in his life, where his whole world just turned upside down. So he knew that kind of suffering. He also knew the suffering of illness. He had some sort of debilitating illness, some sort of chronic illness that he called his thorn in his side that was always with him, always bringing him down. The things he says about himself in Scripture, the things that other people say about him, point to what it might have been. We're not entirely sure. It could have been something with his eyesight, something that prohibited him from seeing well. It could have been epileptic fits. Could have been migraines. It could have been malaria that recurred and recurred and recurred and always brought him down. Could have been any number of those things or all of those things. We know at one point he wrote a letter to the Galatian church, his friends there. And in that letter, he apologizes for the trial that his illness had been to them. And he thanks them for not holding him in contempt because of his illness. In those days, if you had a chronic illness, it was often thought that it was a sign of God's displeasure with you. So Paul thanks them for not holding his illness against him. So it was something serious, something very serious that he had the weight of that illness on him all the time. At the same time, he was dealing with turmoil in his work, in trying to do God's work, in trying to establish these churches. He would find that he would go to a town, he would establish a church, and as soon as he would leave, someone would come in and start to try and undo everything he had done. He was always suffering from people trying to betray him and undermine his work. So always his work was in this kind of turmoil. Paul experienced all these things, complete life change, illness, turmoil. And yet, as well known as he is for his hardships, he's better known for, and he wrote more about, and he spoke more eloquently about his resilience and his solid confidence that God had him. That no matter where he went, that no matter what he went through, God had him. He would not be stranded. He would be brought to his destination, and only God knew what that destination would be. And he would trust that. He had solid confidence in God. Listen to what he says. In 2 Corinthians, this is 4:8. This is a good one to write down. I didn't get it on the panel in the bulletin, but it's a good one to write down. He said that he was hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Because of his faith, because he understood, he believed that God had him. Hard pressed on every side. Where are all these problems coming from? Why are they coming at me from every angle? Everybody I know seems like everything is against me. Pressed in on every side, but God has me. I'm not going to be crushed. Perplexed. God, why is this going on with me today? Why do I have all these problems? What are you trying to say to me, Lord? Perplexed. But God has me. I will not be in despair. Persecuted, it seems like everywhere I look, I've got people against me. I've got people undermining me, people trying to mess up the good work I'm trying to do. I'm persecuted. But God has me. I'm not abandoned. Struck down. Ever felt that? Struck down? You don't want to get up in the morning? You just don't want to face the day? You don't have to raise your hand. Struck down. But God has me. I'm not destroyed. It's the confidence that Paul had. It's the confidence that he had. And where did it come from? It came from that moment. It came from that moment that flipped his life over, didn't it? It came from that moment when he encountered Christ. When he accepted and he began to understand that God really, truly was operating in this world. That God had come in Jesus Christ and had changed everything. When he really began to understand that the God who raised Jesus from the dead did so to prove his power and his presence with us. And that God was reaching out his hand at that moment to Paul individually, his hand of friendship, and saying to Paul, come on, I've got you. I've got you. And from that moment on, Paul began to follow Christ. He began to have that kind of confidence in God. The kind of confidence that said, no matter what I go through and no matter where I go, he's got me. And as he followed that God, he could see how that Holy Spirit filled him up and fueled him on, gave him the endurance and the patience to continue through his hardships. That Holy Spirit brought out of him abilities and strengths that he didn't know he had. And with every passing day, with every passing year, Paul became more and more strong in his hope. Hope that is rooted in the faithfulness of God, that God had him. And you can see it throughout all that he writes. You can see it throughout all that he writes to the point that he begins to rejoice in his sufferings because he knows that in those moments, that's when God's going to mold him into being the person that God envisioned him to be. Oh, please. Rejoicing in suffering. Can you imagine? But we do, don't we? Don't we? When we look back and we see what we've been through, we've seen some of the things we were able to do, and we go, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Well, friends, God extends that same hand to us. Every single day, he extends that hand to us. He says to us, I who have broken into this world, I who can create life, I who raised Jesus from the dead, also wants to raise you and me to a new kind of life. That kind of life that has that level of confidence that no matter where we go or what we go through, he's got us. When our lives turn upside down because of a death in the family, because of the suffering of our own children, because we lose a job, he's got us. He'll not leave us stranded. When we're suffering under the weight of illness, our own or someone else's, we know what that's like, right? We all know what that's like. We've seen the ravages of cancer. We've seen the effects of depression. We know people who are addicted. But God has us. You'll not leave us by the side of the road. We all know those moments when we go through those transitions, where everything that we have become comfortable with and everything that we've become used to starts to become a little shaky. You feel like that rug is just being pulled out from under you very, very slowly. Going from high school into college. Going from college into the workforce. Going from singleness to marriage to parenthood and then back again into singleness. We go through these transitions. Oh man, we need to have God with us. Telling us, I've got you. I've got you. Oh. And as we go through those times, I'm telling you, you know this is true. Paul knows this is true. That's when we see that absolutely phenomenal work of God that comes into us, that helps us to be patient, to endure those times. But better than that, to see new strengths and new abilities come out in us that help us get through those times, that even help us help others get through those times. Oh, praise God. And day by day and year by year, see us rest. In the hope of that God who's so faithful to us. Praise Him. We might go crazy. We might even start praising Him for our sufferings. He brings us to a place where we become the kind of people that He envisions us to be, people of strong, indomitable faith. I met a young couple last weekend. My wife and I had the pleasure of going back and seeing our son graduate from college. I hesitated because it's so great, but it's also so transition-y. But we went to his church after on the last Sunday, and I met this great young couple. Husband's name was David, and we were in this fellowship hall, you know, and these kids are just running around everywhere. It was just really joyful. And I was talking to this young man, David. I asked him what he did. He said he was an artist, and he was doing illustrations for books, but he said it hadn't always been that way, and he really owed it to his wife. And I said, well, why do you owe that to your wife? He said, well, you know, I went to college to be an artist. But when I graduated, we were married. We really wanted to start a family, so I took a job. I took a job, he said, in business, kind of doing sales or whatever. And he said, and I just hated that job. And we did this job for years, and I just hated it. Couldn't stand it. And one day, I was laid off. So he's laid off his job. They have a young son. But his wife said to him, David, I don't want you to look for another job. He says, I want you to honor the gift that God has given you. God's given you this gift of art. I want you to honor that, and I just want to see if maybe God will honor us. Oh. Well, it turned out he did. He took his wife's advice. And he began to do illustrations, and he built up a small, you know, not really lucrative, but a small enough business doing illustrations that he felt pretty confident. Well, I said to him, David, that's a remarkable story that your wife would have that kind of faith, that kind of belief that God had you, that she could say to you, even with a child, that she could say to you, go ahead and honor the gift that God gave you. And he said, yeah, it is an awesome thing, but that's not even the best part of the story. And he called his wife over to tell the rest, and here's what she told me. She said, yeah, all that happened. But she said, just before David was laid off, she was this close to leaving her job. She'd hated her job, too, for years and years and years. And she was fed up. She was this close to leaving. She was within days of quitting that job when David lost his. So, of course, she didn't. But here's the deal. 3 months later, their son was diagnosed with cancer. And that job that she was this close to leaving and would have left if David hadn't been laid off, gave her a leave of absence, full pay, for as long as she needed to take care of her son. Phenomenal story. So a year later, I'm standing with these people. A year after all that happened, their little son is cancer-free. He's running around this social hall, just yucking it up with all the kids. David has, you know, developed his business. The wife, forgot her name, but the wife is doing part-time with that job and going back to school. All these things came together. All these things came together. And I'm standing with these people who know without a doubt that God had them in ways that they could not imagine God had them. Ah. Praise God. Friends, when our lives are turned upside down, when we are weighed down with illnesses, when we are going through those turmoil and that transition times, those times in our lives where things get shaky, we just have to remember that God has us. God has us. And if you feel that way today, I mean, if you know that today, if you know for a fact that God has you today, and no matter where you go or what you go through, that God has you, that is an awesome thing. Praise God. If you felt that way in the past, and maybe right now you're not so sure because the hardships are just too great and they are really coming in on all sides and you really are beginning to feel like you're crushed and you really are feeling like you might be despairing a little bit. You really are feeling like maybe you're abandoned, and I want to just encourage you today. Reach out. Reach out to God, who is reaching out to you today and saying to you, I am here. I am here. The God who broke into this world, the God who's powerful enough to raise Jesus from the dead and is powerful enough to give you a new life, is reaching out to you. And just imagine what it might be like to grab on to those hands and live that kind of life where no matter where you go, no matter what you do, He's got you. He's not going to abandon you. Not today, not ever. And His Holy Spirit is going to fill you up and fuel you on till you get to the destination that God has for you. Praise Him today. Praise Him. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do believe that You are in this place. We do believe that You are talking to us into our hearts right now, that You are tapping us on the shoulder, that You are knocking on the door of our heart. We know, God, that You love us and that You're reaching out to us, Your hand in friendship, and saying to us, grab hold, I've got you. So, Lord, we praise You today. We praise You and ask You that You just help us to know You better as we go forward this week, as we go forward from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's go ahead and sing our final hymn this morning. Let's rise up if we're able today. And we'll sing this great song, I Need Thee Every Hour. Oh my goodness. I need Thee every hour.
my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most Holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee.
Go now out of this place to serve that Lord who's reaching out to us every single day with His hand of friendship, His hand of love, by His Holy Spirit to fill us up and let us know He's got us. Go in peace. Amen.